The U.S. Supreme Court ruled today that in most cases, law enforcement can't track someone past locations through their cell phone without a warrant. Chief Justice John Roberts joined the court's liberal justices in the 5-4 decision. Digital privacy advocates are praising the ruling, but the case leaves open questions about real-time surveillance and when third-party companies have to surrender information we've given them. Blake Reed is an associate clinical professor at the University of Colorado Law School. He teaches the intersection of law, policy, and technology. He's the director of the Samuelson Glushko Technology Law and Policy Clinic. Blake, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, Rob. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
To start, can you give us the basics of the particular case that brought this issue to the court?
So this particular case is about historical cell information. So in the context, somebody committed a crime, and the police wanted to be able to, or it's actually a series of burglaries, and the police wanted to be able to track their location information to corroborate that they'd been in the approximate locations of the burglaries. And so they went to the cell phone company and said, hey, can we get the cell phone records, those cell phone location information records for this person, because that will tell us where they were at these particular times. And of course, the officers didn't get a warrant. They got a lesser standard. It's called a 2703D order, and a magistrate judge approved it, and the phone companies turned the information over, and he was convicted. And his defense attorneys argued that the officer should have gotten a warrant, and that's what led to the basics of the case.
And slicing and dicing here a little bit, if the police wanted, say, to search my house, they would generally need a warrant to do that. But this is third-party data. I have, in effect, voluntarily given my cell phone location information to the cell phone company, and legally that's been treated as a different thing, right?
Well, so that's the whole question that the court is grappling with here, right? So you're exactly right. The Fourth Amendment says that we're secure in our persons and our records and effects, and the Supreme Court has primarily read that to be about our houses, so the cops can't come knock your door down and start rifling through your stuff without establishing probable cause and getting a warrant for a judge. But here the question is, you are leaving in the hands of your cell phone company as you drive around, as you go from to work, to school, out to eat, go to your doctor's office. Maybe go more sensitive locations, go to your therapist's office, that sort of thing. You are turning over on a very regular basis your location to your cell phone company for the purpose of them being able to deliver calls to you. And so they keep those records. And so the question is, are you waiving your rights to privacy in that information because you turn it over to a third party? And there are a series of older Supreme Court cases dating back to the 1970s that say anytime you turn over information to a third party, whether that's banking information or in the context of using a landline phone, the numbers that you dial, you turn those over to the phone company. And the court have found there's this doctrine called the third party doctrine. And when you turn any information over to a third party, you waive your reasonable expectation of privacy, and the cops don't need a warrant for that. With a lot of categories of information, Congress has stepped in and said, no, we do need a warrant, or maybe we even need a higher standard than a warrant for certain types of information. But it hasn't been clear how that would work with cell phone location information. And so this case confronted that question more directly.
Talking to Blake Reed from the University of Colorado Law School about this U.S. Supreme Court ruling out this morning on how police can and can't use your cell phone location data. They need a warrant, the majority says. Let's get into that ruling now. Chief Justice Roberts departed from his fellow conservatives, went with the liberals to get a majority here. What was their argument about why this cell phone location data might be different than what's come up in past cases?
Well, so in addition to the third-party doctrine, there's this line of cases around surveilling you in public, and there's a case where the cops attached a GPS tracker to someone's car and followed him around for several months and basically were able to get precise location information about where he was. And so, there have been cases before where the cops had less sophisticated surveillance technology, and they said, well, that's okay. You're out in public. you know, you're opening up the possibility that the cops can track you. But with this GPS case, they said, well, you know, you have a reasonable expectation that you're not going to be followed around 24/7 for weeks or months on end. And so that violates your reasonable expectation of privacy. And so that reasonable expectation and not being surveilled all the time runs headlong into the third party doctrine here, because your cell phone company is basically surveilling you all the time. They have location information on you all the time, but they're a third party and you voluntarily turn information over to them, or at least that's the argument that the government made. And so the majority, in considering these two doctrines, said, look, technology has changed a lot. Everybody has a cell phone. This is almost an involuntary part of being a productive member of society. You've got to be able to carry a cell phone around. And if that means that the cell phone company has your location information, well, we can't infer that you don't have any privacy against the government as to being surveilled all the time. So that's sort of how the majority arrived at its conclusion. It said the interest in not being surveilled 24/7 outweighs the fact that you turn the information over to a third party.
Now, in the dissent, the other four justices, the conservatives, apart from Chief Justice Roberts, they seemed very emphatic in their opposition to this decision. What were their main lines of argument?
Yeah, there are four different dissents, which is a little bit of an unusual configuration, several of them agreeing with each other. But they had a few different lines of attack. One of them was that we traditionally have recognized Fourth Amendment protections in things that are your property, so your home, for example, or your papers. And it's a little bit unclear that data about you is property. So the dissents grapple a lot with this idea about whether information that that your cell phone company holds on to about you is your property, and they spend a lot of time arguing about that. There also was a really interesting section of Justice Gorsuch's dissent where he goes back and attacks the third-party doctrine pretty directly, and you can tell he's pretty unhappy with the reasoning behind the third-party doctrine. So I think a lot of people are puzzling over whether his dissent might have put him in the camp of the majority, if the majority had been willing to go a little bit further, or if it would have put him in the camp of the other dissenting justices. The other dissenting justices were also obviously concerned about the impact this is going to have on law enforcement, right? This is obviously a useful tool for law enforcement to be able to figure out where people have been, to sort of reconstruct, go back in a time machine, reconstruct where people have been. But in any case, those arguments didn't win the day, and so now I think people are just looking forward to the line of cases that are no doubt going to arise out of this one.
Right. What's next then? Does this set precedent for other types of surveillance, other types of our technology and data potentially being used against us?
Absolutely. So there are some obvious cases that will no doubt be tested in the coming months and years. So this case was just about historical cell site data, so data the phone company holds on to about you. There'll be cases about real-time location tracking, whether the cops can go to the phone company and get your information in real time and say, hey, we want to know where Rob is right now. There'll be interesting questions about Stingray devices, which are cops use to surveil phone communications. They're sort of simulated cell site towers that they pretend to be the phone company, but in reality they can listen in to what you're saying. So this opens up interesting questions there. It'll bring up cases about facial recognition and the companies like Facebook that hold on to huge volumes of data about what your face looks like in the form of images. And then it'll open up a whole slew of questions about the ability for authorities to just get information about your data in general. And the majority opinion sort of suggests the court is going to take an incremental case-by-case approach to this. They tried to be very measured in how far they were going to go. So I think the message is we are going to see a lot of cases about our digital privacy as to just about every kind of data you can imagine over the coming months and years.
Blake, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
You too. That's Blake Reed, Associate Clinical Professor at the University of Colorado School of Law. He was with us today to talk about the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that came down this morning saying warrants are needed to track the location of someone's cell phone in most cases.